How many of you know anything about football? American football? Everything? There's a few of you, right? So, do you know what an audible is? You ever heard the term audible when it comes to football? Dave, what do you think? What is that?
An audible is when they call play in the huddle and they go to the line of scrimmage and the quarterback leaves the defense, and he realizes that the play they have called in the huddle is not good for that defense. So he changes the play audibly.
Yeah.
He yells out a different code of numbers.
Yeah.
That indicate and call for a different play than what they called.
Yeah. It's called an audible, exactly. He's basically improvising, right? It's like, oh, wow, we got to change things up, and bam. Well, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but sometimes God will tell you to call an audible. God will, you know, it's like you put something in motion, or you have a plan for something, and then all of a sudden the Lord says, no. I got something else for you. And so God calls an audible and says, you call an audible tonight. So that's what we're doing. I'm calling an audible in the sense that for the past number of weeks, we've been talking about the whole area of spiritual warfare. And it's been pretty cool. We've had some really, I think, good times of sharing and talking about that. And so I had planned to actually talk about the stronghold of fear tonight. I had it all worked up and whatnot. And then yesterday, the Lord brought to my attention a prophecy that was spoken back in 1977. No, many of you weren't even alive. Many of you were not even a glimmer in your parents' eyes in 1977. Who? And did I just lose my mic? Oh, my mic is dead. Hang on a second. It's the battery.
That's better.
All right, where was I? So, how many of you were alive in 1977? Who can wants to admit that, right? So anyway, my good friend Danny Stain, who some of you know who that is, right? Others you don't, and you don't really care. Just being honest, right? Who's Danny? Danny is a revivalist that we've been connected to for probably about 10 years now, right? And he's now based in Connecticut, and God's just doing some really powerful stuff through his ministry. So he posts this word yesterday about something that God is doing. Actually, it's the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given in 1977 by a prophet named Bob Jones. Some of you may have heard of Bob. Bob was one of the most accurate prophets to have ever lived. Okay, guy was amazing. So I want to read this to you because the prophecy is basically saying that we have just entered into a new day of glory being released through us. And you know what's fascinating for me is that I have pursued glory and the glory of God probably for 30 years. You know, I can remember back in the late 80s and 90s, we were, you know, saying, God, we want your glory. You know, I was writing songs and we were singing songs about the glory of God coming and being poured out, you know, over us, and we were just crying out, God, we want to see your glory, and all this awesome stuff, you know. And for all of that, we didn't really experience much in the way of actual visible, tangible glory. Now, that's not to say that God hasn't done that. There have been places where people have gathered and they've seen, you know, the cloud, and they've seen gold dust and feathers and gemstones and all this kind of amazing stuff that has been released as the presence of God would come in a powerful way. Has anyone here ever experienced stuff like that? Pam, you have. I know you've been someone that's really gone after that. You as well, yeah. So, you know, this stuff is amazing, and there's nothing wrong with it. We can certainly experience that and enjoy it. But over the years, God began to speak to me and show me an aspect of his glory that I had not considered before. So I want to talk to you about that tonight. I want to talk to you about glory awakened. Okay, glory awakened. Here's the word that Danny shared. In April of 2007, we had one of our major conferences in Columbia, South Carolina. It was called the God Conference. What would transpire after this conference was actually as important as the conference. During that conference, while sitting next to Bob Jones, he indicated that on the 11th of March, it had been 30 years since the Lord wrote Ichabod across the church. Now, if you're not familiar with Old Testament stories, you might not understand Ichabod, unless maybe you like think of Ichabod Crane from, right? What was that story? The Sleepy Hollow thing, right? Ichabod Crane. Well, the word Ichabod, what does it mean? Who knows? Yeah, the glory has departed. You can actually find this in 1 Samuel, the story of how this word was interjected into the history of Israel. If you're interested, you can look. I think it's chapter 4. Anyway, it's in that area. So apparently, 40 years ago, the Lord spoke to Bob Jones and said, Ichabod, glory has departed off of the church. And so Bob said that the glory lifted off of the church at that time and that we were beginning to end that season where the glory would begin returning. He said 10 years from now, it'll be 40 years, and that makes everything complete. He then said, this is Bob talking, can you feel the rain? It's raining in here. This is inside the conference. Indeed, we could feel the rain like a mist in the room and even some droplets. Well, that day, the 40-year mark was yesterday. The 11th of March was yesterday. And so according to Bob's prophecy, what the Lord gave him, we are now in a new time where glory is going to become the norm rather than the exception. Unreal. So basically, after this conference 10 years ago, Danny takes a trip to Florida. And on his way to the airport, there's a huge storm. And he's like, God, I'm going to be late. I'm going to miss my flight. Well, all of a sudden, angels began to camp around him as he's driving. And they basically cleared the way for Danny supernaturally so he got to the airport on time. Okay? So what he's saying, basically, immediately things started to shift and more supernatural stuff started happening. So he has a conference. Some other conferences, I'm trying to summarize some of this, right? And I don't know if any of you remember in 2007, but there was this really big event that was scheduled for July 7th, 2007, because it was 777. Anybody remember that? Most of you are too young, right? And everybody was saying that, oh, this is it, we're breaking through, it was, you know, God was going to really move in a powerful way, and he did, but it wasn't the final breakthrough. And how do I know? Have we had really any major breakthrough over the past 10 years? I mean, honestly, has there been an outbreak of supernatural stuff happening every day? We're still not quite there. We haven't been quite there yet. And so I agree with Danny when he wrote that. Again, summarizing, in September of 2012, he had another conference, and a guy named Brian Simmons, who is like the lead writer of the Passion Translation Bible, he spoke a word, prophetic word, saying that in 2017, we will begin seeing the move of God we have all been expecting. Now, another thing I got to tell you about, right? For years and years and years, we were saying, God, send revival. Bring revival. We're calling on you, God, to bring revival to the church and to the world, right? How many of you have done that? You've prayed that. You've asked God. Maybe you cried, you screamed, you begged, whatever, right? We've all been on certain levels of that kind of a desire to see God do a powerful thing. And so Brian prophesied that in 2017 we'll begin seeing the move of God we've all been expecting. So the result of that was that Danny moved up here to Connecticut from South Carolina and began to institute the ministry in New England where revival is actually beginning to take hold. People are beginning to become awakened. Okay? The idea of awakening in the church presupposes or, you know, assumes that people have been asleep. Does that make sense? Right? If for there to be an awakening, you've got to be asleep. Now, how is it that the church has been asleep? And this is where we kind of catch up and kind of bring together some things. Because what God has been speaking to me over these past 5-6 years is just the idea that we as born-again sons and daughters of God, we have been basically asleep to our true nature and our true identity. Okay? And because of that, right, the church has been asking God to do something that he's already done. We've been asking God to bring revival, to send revival, to do some supernatural major thing, right? And the idea inherent in that approach is that, well, God, you know, you must not really want revival that much because otherwise we'd have it. And maybe we're not crying out enough. Maybe we're not beating ourselves up enough. Maybe we're not doing whatever X, Y, and Z enough to convince you that we really, really, really want revival. Okay? And so what God began to show me was that he never stopped offering what it takes to walk in revival. Because every single born-again believer who's baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the same spirit that Jesus had when he walked the earth. We absolutely do. The same spirit that Jesus was anointed by, we are anointed by as well. So if you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not any less capable of being a revivalist than Jesus. But see, we have a hard time believing that. Our minds can't wrap themselves around this idea. Well, how can that be? I don't feel that way. I don't see that. What's going on? There must be something wrong. And so because we haven't been willing to take God at his word and say, okay, God, you say this in your word that we get to do the same works that Jesus did and even greater works than these will we do. Right? And begin to actually try to walk that out. Instead, we're waiting for stuff to happen. We're waiting for God to do something. And so, as I've been, you know, walking with the Lord and talking to him about this whole thing of revival and glory and whatnot, he really began to show me what he had in mind concerning glory from the beginning. Does that sound like something you'd like to know? Because see, our definition of glory as this cloud, as the gold dust, as the weighty presence of the Lord, those are aspects of his glory, absolutely. But that is not the final definition of what he's after. It's just not. And so I'm just going to read some scriptures to you tonight. We're going to worship. Let me just read this final paragraph from Danny's word that he wrote. He says, when the glory returns, the world runs to us for answers and for the real. Okay. His glory on us, broken vessels, humble at his presence, completely walking out his word and the things that he has spoken. This is what I'm talking about. We enter a new era today. We enter our inheritance. We enter the greatest awakening, the awakening that will not end. His glory has returned. It's on you. You are the glory. Right? And so in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, Paul writes this, that those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. What is he saying? That Jesus is the prototype of a new race of beings. Jesus is the prototype of a new, entirely new race of beings. Okay? Jesus was God, became man, right? And so he birthed a new race of people who are one with God. And that's what Paul says. Well, let me finish it. Verse 30 says that these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. That's a lot of theological words there, I know. But what I want you to understand is that he said, these he has glorified, past tense. So what is that? What's the glory that God has given to us? Romans, or rather 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And I've talked to you about this in the past, that when you're a born-again Christian, you become one with Jesus. You can't be separated from him. You know, you could tear yourself away, but who would want to do that? You don't lose your free will, right? You could still be stupid and say, I'll get out of my life. But guess what? It'll never happen accidentally. You'll never lose your connection to him accidentally. Or there's nothing you could do short of telling him to get out of your life that will ever separate you from his love. You're one with him. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? And so when in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, for in Jesus all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you've been made complete. You don't lack anything in Christ. You've been completed and perfected in Jesus in your spirit, man. You just haven't learned what that looks like yet. That's all that's missing. You just haven't figured out, well, what does that look like? How do I do that? So we're all in this process of learning how to manifest who we really are as being one with Christ. And the final scripture is from 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So what is glory for us? Glory for you and me is Jesus being visible through us. Can you think of any more glorious thing that we would be able to do than to have people look at you and say, well, you really like Jesus. You really are like him. You know? You're still you. You still look like you. You still smell like you. You still, you know. But you're him to other people. You have all the abilities that Jesus had when he was on the earth. See, that's glory. That's glory. It's not just some nice thing that happens in the atmosphere, and as much as I would love to see that, I would much rather be so walking out of my identity as being one with Jesus so that all that Jesus is capable of gets released through me. Come on, think about circumstances and situations that you know of. And think about what would Jesus do in those situations? What would he do based on what you know of him from the Gospels, right? What would he do in those situations? Well, see, that's the thing. Whatever it is that you think he would do, you can do. You can do because he lives in you. So whether it's dealing with somebody that's blind or deaf or possessed by a devil or has cancer or is a drunkard or drug addict or whatever, whatever it is that you know Jesus would do to touch that person's life, to love them, to heal them, to set them free, well, that's what we're capable of because he lives in us. And that, my friends, is the great awakening. For us to awaken to the reality of who we really, really are because of Jesus living in us, because of us being one with him. Okay? And so my prayer now is not, oh God, send revival. My prayer now is, God, awaken us to who we really are. And so tonight as we worship, I invite you to just say three simple words throughout our time of worship, as often as you think of it, as often as you're prompted by Him. All you have to do is say these three words, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Why? Now, He's already here. Don't get me wrong. He's already here. But what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, come and bring me into the revelation, into the encounter that I need to be more awakened, to be fully awakened. See? Every encounter, let me put it this way, every scripture that we read contains an encounter. Every promise that you read in the Bible, everything that's written about you in the Bible comes with an encounter. It's not just a nice idea that we get to talk about and think about and pray about maybe. No, it's meant for us to encounter Him so that whatever He's saying becomes real in my life and in yours. Something new.